Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuadita Sun. And it's been a little while since Bill has handed over the mic and gone on vacation. You're going to be hearing some different voices during the noon hour over the next couple of weeks. Bill and his wife, Anne, are celebrating a biggie. It's their 50th wedding anniversary. They've headed for Hawaii to enjoy themselves. So look for the photos soon on his Facebook page. And congratulations, Bill. Five decades is definitely something to applaud. The Buckmaster Show comes to you live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m., or you can check out all the past shows or the live stream at buckmastershow.com. We start off the week talking to our political experts during the Monday political face-off. Today, we welcome Shelley Kice, who's from my neck of the woods down in Sahuadita, and Aaron Rottenstein. After the break at 12:30, we'll be talking to a complete wild man from Green Valley. His name is Karu Papritz, and he recently ushered an entire school into the Guinness Book of World Records. So that is only a small piece of his story. We have Karu coming up in about a half an hour, and he's a great guy. So looking forward to that. Please join us if you have a question or comment. You can reach us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And let us remind you that the Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and systems, you name it. Moe's has it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and you can find them on Facebook. We're now joined by commentators Shelley Kice. She is chair of the Pima County Republicans. Aaron Rottenstein, who spent time on Capitol Hill and is very involved in and around Tucson. It is good to see you both. Hope you both had a great weekend.
Excellent. Thank you. Good to see you.
Very good. Good to see you, Aaron.
Yeah, likewise. And Bill, if you're listening, congratulations. What an amazing accomplishment 50 years is.
Yep. And Green Valley, we call that a good start. So he still has a ways to go, but I bet he'll keep plugging away. So Bill and Ann, congratulations. So we have a lot of things to talk about today, but what's in the news today, and it was not entirely unexpected, but Finland and Sweden have applied to get into NATO. These are fiercely independent nations in the past. They've not wanted to get involved in this type of stuff. Aaron, were you surprised at this?
No. You know, I think we've seen time and time again through this conflict that Vladimir Putin and Russia have bitten off a little bit more than they can chew. And I think we're seeing just a little bit more of that today. I don't blame them. If I shared a border or was, you know, remotely close to Russia, seeing what's going on in the Ukraine, I'd be looking for allies as well. I think, like I said, this is just another case of Russia really not figuring out what they were trying to do with this war and getting in a little too fast.
Shelley, what about you? Surprised to see this?
I'm not surprised to see it at all. There's a whole lot of things that we're seeing over in Europe that are, should be laying the groundwork that if you were Finland or Sweden, you ought to be looking at getting into this. Just to take it a little bit more realistically for us here in America, we have a lot of military troops and civilians that support our efforts over in Europe. And a lot of Americans who had plans to go over to Europe and work there in civilian capacity have been submitting declinations. They're not willing to go over there and work now and put their families at risk. This is a really, really big issue, and I hope that we see Finland and Sweden get into NATO.
Well, it's been very interesting to see people's attention turn to Europe, and I think the first thing I'm hearing from a lot of them is, wow, that's a lot smaller than I thought it was. You know, I mean, driving to another country is like us driving to another state, and they're seeing that everything is intertwined. We can see it with the gas and the oil and what's going on across that continent. It'll be very interesting to watch it all play out, and I wonder how history is gonna see this one. Tis the season, Shelley. It's the election season. I love it. I hate it. I mostly hate it. But it's here. It's a big year, and the Republicans definitely expect a really big year. We have down here a congressional seat that is open. How do you see this playing out statewide for the Republicans?
Actually, I think the Republicans are in a really good position. If you just look at an NBC poll that was recently put out, 22% of people are concerned about the cost of living. 18% are concerned about jobs and the economy. 75% in an NBC poll, remember this now, 75% of Americans say the country's on the wrong track. So when we're on the wrong track, we tend to change horses. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. We certainly in the Republican Party have a bench of candidates that is absolutely phenomenal. I've never seen such strength in candidates in at least in my time in Arizona. And so I'm really looking forward to the elections that we're going to see here in the state. And in our CD6 race, we have very strong candidates, and we're looking for a win. We're looking for taking back that seat.
Aaron, we can't completely change horses because it's just the midterm election. But historically, the party in control, which would be the Democrats on Capitol Hill, have taken a beating during the midterms. What do you see happening this year?
You know, it's going to be interesting with new maps. It's always really difficult to predict what's going to happen. You know, CD6, for example, I've seen people saying that's anywhere from a Republican plus one seat to a Republican plus seven seat. And we're just not going to know that answer. We might not even find it out after this November in terms of how the overall electorate works out. Shelley mentioned that NBC poll. I think she forgot one thing in it, which is 22% said the economy is the number one issue. 21% said abortion is. And that topic hasn't even hit the full gas fire yet. So I think there's still a lot to learn between now and the election. Now, Republicans in Arizona, like Republicans in Pennsylvania today, have a lot of really terrible candidates that could screw this thing up for them, whether it's Blake Masters in the Senate, Carrie Lake in the governor's race. There are a lot of candidates that are just simply unelectable running for offices, Rodney Glassman for attorney general. And if those folks get elected or nominated, I think you could see anything happen here in Arizona.
So what are your concerns specifically with those people like Carrie Lake and
Rodney
Glassman?
I have very few concerns about them. I would love them to win their nominations, but they're just completely out of step with the Arizona public.
And just as a side point, the NBC poll actually had abortion at 10%. That was the poll on May 7th through 10 and 9 and 10. And the margin of error is 3%. So I don't know where you get that. It was jobs and the economy that was 18%, voting rights at 12%. All three issues, which are very strong issues for the Republican Party, which we have stood on, and we will be able to demonstrate our strength in those areas. Again, the abortion number was 10%.
Well, again, Shelley, historically, everything comes back to the wallet. Doesn't it? I mean, the voters want they want jobs, they want inflation kept down, they want to just be able to live their lives, generally speaking. Isn't that usually the biggest issue?
Well, I think the biggest issue is we have a lot of moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas out there that want to make sure that their children are safe, their children are healthy, their children are well fed, that we have good education. It does come back to the dining room table. It comes back to mom and dad sitting down with the checkbook and trying to figure out what they're going to do now that they're paying $5,000 more a year, that inflation has really impacted their ability to provide for their families as they used to. So yeah, and that's why we're seeing in this poll where jobs and the economy in the question, which is the most important issue facing the country, jobs and the economy came in at 18% and cost of living at 22%. So yeah, it does come down to the wallet.
Aaron, if you ask the campaigns and the candidates, they're going to tell you that the biggest issues are things like the border wall, voting shenanigans, Donald Trump, good or bad. But what do you think are the real issues that Arizona voters are going to be going to the polls on this year?
It's going to be abortion and inflation. Those are the two. And,
okay.
The truth of the matter is both of them are a little bit out of the control of politicians at the moment. But that's certainly what people are going to be voting on. And I agree with Shelley. If inflation isn't somewhat under control, or we find some equilibrium between now and November, it's going to be a very tough election for Democrats.
So regardless of whether he's responsible or not, Biden is going to get blamed for inflation.
I think I've always been very skeptical that presidents can control the economy during their term. That's not to say that they can't have massive impacts on what the economy is going to look like going down the road, but it's a big ship. You know, we're the biggest economy in the world by a long shot. And the idea that you can move this in a day or two, a month or two, I think doesn't give enough credit to the American public.
But really, Shelley, it doesn't depend on, it doesn't matter if Biden's responsible or not. It's what the voters think. And what do they think right now about inflation and President Biden?
Well, it does. You're right. It doesn't matter whether Biden can move it or not. What they think right now is they think that there are young mothers that aren't worried about abortion. They're worried about feeding their children. They're worried about empty shelves. They're worried about being able to get a job, and will the job survive the economy, the inflation. It comes down to, again, sitting at that kitchen table and writing those checks. Are we going to be able to keep our house? And are we going to be able to put gas in the car? Are we going to have to stop going to soccer practice because we can't afford to put gas in the car to take the kids to soccer?
Okay, we are with Shelley Keis and Aaron Rottenstein on the Monday Political Face-Off. You are listening to The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This is a good time to remind you that this portion of The Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They simply cannot be denied. Shelley, when are you going to use your pull to get a Mona's down in Sahuarita?
You know what? I think, Dan, between you and me, we're going to pull it off.
I want to. On this issue, I am not objective.
We can start it as a food truck, but it's going to go a long way.
I love it. You can find Mona's on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's open for breakfast and lunch. Treat yourself to some of their fine offerings, including that famous Danish Kringle. Mona'sDanishBakery.com or go to BuckmasterShow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Here we go. Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. You've joined us in the middle of the Monday Political Face-Off with Aaron Rottenstein and Shelley Kice. And we were just started to talk about abortion, Aaron, just before we went into the break and how big of an issue this is going to be. And the fact is, you know, 99.9% of us know how we feel about abortion. Why is this going to be such a big issue this year? I get it, the Roe v. Wade stuff, but Roe v. Wade and the Supreme Court, it's not a popularity contest. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, and as we were talking about that, we spoke about how effectively Republicans have marshaled this issue over the last 50 years, regardless of whether or not Congress was going to do much about it. I think you're going to see both parties run on the idea that if they get 60 votes in the Senate, you're going to see some real national legislation on this issue. And we were talking about state elections earlier. You know, dozens of states have now called special sessions to roll back abortions even farther. In a lot of cases, getting rid of rape and incest, exemptions, which means that 13-year-old girls that are getting raped are going to have to carry these babies to term. You know, that's not a position that flies well with the vast majority of the American public. And I think you're going to start to see a lot of people realizing that the MAGA Republicans are out of step with them, not just on this issue, but a lot of other issues as we get to November.
Shelley, you talk to a lot of people in Pima County and the state. Is abortion going to play that bigger role in the midterms?
I think abortion is going to play a role. It's always going to play a role. And there are some people who are going to say this is their one issue.
Mm-hmm,
and we
sure
do see that. There are people who believe that abortion is their one issue. They're passionate about it. But I still say it's going to come back to the issue that we can't pay our bills, we can't feed our children, we can't drive our cars. And that's the big issue. Inflation is out of control. There is no future for it to be brought under control. Spending is just off the rails. And our supply chain issues, which are absolutely critical to the success, of this nation, not just the success, but the security of this nation, the health of the people in the country. There's just nothing getting done about this. And let's be real clear, the baby formula issue has been on the books since October. This is no surprise. This is no surprise. We knew that Abbott Lab was shutting down, and we knew that Abbott was shutting down. We knew what they did. We knew what the impact would be, and this is no surprise. And so when I talk to young women, they're not worried about abortion. They're worried about feeding their children.
Aaron, Donald Trump always seems to be injecting himself into elections. He has made scores of endorsements across the country. Do they mean anything?
I think we'll find out tomorrow in a couple of cases, especially in Pennsylvania, where he's endorsed pretty late here with some candidates in tight races. I think they mean a lot. I don't know that they mean a whole lot in the Republican primary. We've seen that he tends to endorse candidates that are probably going to win anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think they care to moderate voters in November, where, you know, they've spoken in the last two elections that MAGA Republicans, Donald Trumpism, is not something that they want to see in charge of this country.
Shelley, does Donald Trump matter?
He matters in the Republican Party. There's a lot of people that will look at the candidates that President Trump has endorsed, and they will vote for that candidate. So, yeah, it's very meaningful.
If you were running, would you want his endorsement?
If I was running, I would want your endorsement for my mental health.
Okay.
I would not do this again. So.
You've been through it.
I have been a candidate. Thank you so much.
I will tell you that regardless of what you think about the candidates, it is a tough go. And I was out at Quail Creek recently, and you had a lot of candidates through there. And I was talking to one specifically, and he said, man, this is nonstop, 12 to 14 hours a day, day after day after day after day, month after month.
Yes, it is. And it is tough. Exciting, and I love campaigning. I don't want to misrepresent that. I absolutely love campaigning.
Okay. One more issue, and again, unfortunately, that's cropped up over the last few days, several shootings, including a grocery store in Buffalo, a church in California, always a contentious topic in elections. Guns, gun control, gun, what's we can purchase, et cetera, et cetera. Is that going to be a rising issue, Aaron, in the midterms?
We'll find out. And I don't know that it's necessarily going to be as much guns as some of the other political implications from these types of shootings. Replacement theory. The you know, really vile, oftentimes racist and anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that's fueled a lot of these, whether it was the Tree of Life shooting in Pittsburgh, the shooting in El Paso, or the shooting in Buffalo this last weekend. You're starting to see more mainstream Republicans, more MAGA Republicans in Congress talking about it. Elise Stefanik ran an ad on it in on Facebook, and Tucker Carlson's actually mentioned it on his show over 400 times, which means more than once a day for over a year he's mentioned this. And as it becomes more and more embraced by the Republican Party, look, we know what some people are going to do when they get deep into these conspiracy theories. We've seen it time and time again. The Jewish community here in Tucson spends over $100,000 a year just on security because of these types of things. Republicans know that there's going to be violent outbursts if they continue to talk like this, and they don't seem to care. And I think that more than what's going to happen in November, that political change is going to be the most important thing to Americans.
But Aaron, legislatively speaking, what would the Democrats be satisfied with regarding guns or gun control? And I don't even know that that's a proper term for it.
No, I think, you know, what's most important is what we've got right now and where Republicans are pushing this, which is anyone getting any gun at any time. They believe that library books should be under more scrutiny than purchases of assault weapons and assault style weapons. That's utterly ridiculous. And it's not something that the American people stand for. But we've talked about several issues already today, whether it was abortion or the types of candidates that they're nominating that are just so far out of lockstep with the American people. If this is a campaign on issues, Republicans are not going to do as well as they think they are.
Shelley, Republicans and guns, is it a love affair or is this just a media concoction?
Well, first off, let's not be disingenuous here. The Jewish community here in Pima County recently did have an issue, and that wasn't a Republican or a Democrat security breach. That was a person with mental health issues. And so let's talk about what this is. Let's not politicize this, but let's be clear that it is being politicized, and it's being politicized by the Democrats. Just like tomorrow at the Board of Supervisors meeting, they will proclaim Gun Violence Awareness Day in Pima County for June 3rd. Now, what is missing on the Board of Supervisors agenda is, of course, National Police Week, which is taking place right now. How about a proclamation to support our police? How about respect and honor and support for our law enforcement officials? The Republican Party does support National Police Week and supports our law enforcement officials. And yet we see Democrats politicizing gun violence. So let's all work together. Is it actually an issue when we're talking about gun violence? Is it actually an issue of all these identity politics that we want to bring forward? Or is it an issue of mental health? And so if so, how can Republicans and Democrats work together to help those people who have issues with mental health, with drugs, with homelessness? Let's talk about making our country great again, rather than doing identity politics and calling each other out.
Aaron, I'm not going to ask you to defend the Board of Supervisors, but she's right. They are more prone to ignore or go after police rather than support them. This is a great example, the proclamations. Do we have a problem in Pima County regarding that type of stuff?
Listen, with cops and guns, cops ask you when they pull you over if you've got a weapon in the car, and they do it for a reason. It's because guns can kill people. They can kill people that don't deserve to be killed. There's a reason why we've got laws in this country that make it even worse and punishment if you attack a police officer than you do a normal civilian. And that's because police officers put themselves out every single day. The idea that you'd conflate the two is utterly nonsense to me, that we shouldn't be, you know, and Shelley, the rest of her talk I thought was really eloquent. We should come together. We should come together with where the American people are on this, which is for stronger restrictions on guns, not just for mental health issues. I don't think there's any amount of hugs, any amount of talking we could have done to change what happened this weekend in Buffalo. You know, this is not just a mental health issue. This is not just a medication issue or a seeking services issue. This is a gun issue.
Okay, we have Rick on the line. Rick, you had a quick comment.
Yeah, I think sometimes we get into some of these outside, I won't say outside issues, because they are important, but I think what we're missing here, and the senior generation is looking back at this next two generations and saying, what happened to respect? What happened to discipline? What happened to a mentality that you work for a living? And I'm not alone in this. And people on both sides of the aisle, they're looking back and saying, you go to a fast food place and they can't give you change without a computer. I mean, this is where we're really lacking across the board is basic discipline and respect.
Okay, Rick, I appreciate that. Civility, we've been talking about it for years, particularly after the Gabby Gifford shooting, and I think you have some great points. Well, we could go all hour with this, but unfortunately we're running out of time. That's going to wrap up our Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, meeting all your custom framing needs and more since 1985. That's Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. My thanks to Shelley and Aaron. Make it a great week, you two. Really appreciate having you.
It's always a pleasure to see you, especially this time of year.
I appreciate it. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village Studio. When we return, you are invited to join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. That is 520-790-2040. We're going to be right back with author Karoo Papritz to talk about just about everything under the sun, because that's what he's like. We'll be right back.
CBS News Special Report. A white gunman accused of a racist rampage at a supermarket in Buffalo reportedly planned to keep killing if he hadn't been caught. Erie County Sheriff John Garcia.
It is straight up hate crime. An individual came in here, drove 3.5 hours into our community to spew hate, kill innocent people that were just shopping.
10 people died. Bishop Daria Pridgen.
Stand up against racism. You hear a coworker that has a snide remark, you hear a coworker that talks in racist tones or doesn't understand, lose a friend by opening up your mouth and saying something. This is not the time to be silent.
CBS's Jeff Begays has more on what's next now for the shooter.
Gendron has been charged with first-degree murder and is likely to face federal hate crime and domestic terror charges. Investigators say he plotted the attack over several months, allegedly posting a 180-page manifesto online.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
You are listening to The Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill, who is celebrating his 50th wedding anniversary in Hawaii this week with his wife, Ann. Check out their updates with lots of photos on his Facebook page starting probably right around Wednesday. Our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, would also like to host you at their awesome vacation spot just 3 hours east of Tucson. There is so much to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Now we welcome our guest after recovering from the political face-off with Shelley Kise and Aaron Rottenstein, who are always great. This is Karu Peppritz. First of all, Karu, we're going to tell people why you're on the air. If I had to describe you, you're kind of this everyman, author, world traveler, movie maker, cowboy dad, husband, big idea guy. I'm missing 40 or 50 things there. You've done dozens of interviews. What's your elevator speech on who you are? And then we'll get to the cool stuff, the Guinness Book of World Records.
Wow. All right. That intro, you said it all.
I don't think I've even scratched the surface on this. I'm serious.
Do you know, I love that part where you talk about, I mean, really, I'm a father. I'm a husband first and
Amen.
A father. And then
you go.
And then you just go down the line. And you know, I love writings. I'm an author and a filmmaker. And I guess the big thing, I really dig inspiring kids to get involved in their communities and getting them to read and just getting them excited about doing things in life and not just getting off their phones.
And if that gives people the impression that you kind of hang out around Green Valley and Sahuarita doing exactly that, which would be a noble thing, that's not the truth, because you reach out actually across the globe to reach some of your goals here. I mentioned earlier that you helped Continental School, and that is a K-8 school in Green Valley. It is a one-school school district, and you helped them get into the Guinness Book of World Records. But before we get into that, because it kind of plays into it, tell us about your book, The Legacy Letters, and how this all came together.
Yeah, so it's an interesting story. So The Legacy Letters is a series of fictional letters written by a father to his kids that he never lived to see, and these letters become their practical, moral, and spiritual guidebook for the rest of their lives. So I'm very fortunate. It's won a number of national awards, and it's really, it can be read almost at all ages. So one of the lovely things one of the central themes of the book is really to live life to the fullest and sort of walking that talk. And that's what I get to do out in the world. And one of the things I love doing is getting kids together and reading the book and then getting their responses. So one of the first letters in the book is how to say please and thank you. It's as basic as all get out. So I'm reading this to them. It was a cursive writing class at Continental. And all of a sudden, this image of a giant thank you letter the size of a football field popped into my head, and I said, hey, guys, what do you think about this? What if we did a thank you letter the size of our football? Oh, yeah, Mr. Pappers, that's great. Of course, you know, we, yeah.
Yeah, they're 10.
Right.
<Yeah.
laughs> So guess what? It happened. It became the size of a high school basketball gym, and they wrote it. I tried to, you know, it's funny. I tried to channel my inner 10-year-old to write it. Couldn't do it. I said, guys, write what you're thankful for in life. And they did, and we incorporated that in the letter. So you have the world's largest handwritten thank you letter. What do you do with it? You have to mail it.
So you built a mailbox? We talked about this. I was expecting to drive through town and see a six-story mailbox, but no, you had to do one other step before that.
That's the next. Yeah, we had to send it. We had to send it, and we sent it through the U.S. Postal Service. We created the world's largest envelope and world's largest stamp. The stamp was 25 by 15 feet.
And it's a real stamp.
It's a real stamp.
It's a real one.
It's a forever stamp. And actually, well, it is forever now. And we're trying to get the U.S. Postal Service to actually consider it as a stamp so that we're in that process right now.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Get them to consider it as a stamp, meaning that I would have to rent a 52-foot truck to haul it away if I wanted this, you know, a 54-cent stamp or whatever they are today.
Yes.
I mean, this is nuts. And I have to stop right here because the poor superintendent over at Continental, is it true or not that she at one point said, hey, your next idea, can we scale it down a little bit? Because this isn't the first thing you did.
Right.
Tell them what you did just a couple weeks ago, and then we'll get back to the Guinness book.
Oh, this was neat. So sort of going up on the... upon the big idea. So we wanted to do something with help kids over in Ukraine, Ukrainian refugee kids. So we've done this before. We've sent letters to kids from our kids, handwritten letters. But we thought this would really be powerful for our kids to do that and to get them over to the kids in probably in Poland at some school. So to kick that off, we created this idea called Project Gratitude, and underneath that umbrella we created this giant Ukrainian flag the size of a football field.
Yes.
And the entire school is on top of this flag, and that really kicked it off in a big way. The reason the kids were on top of it, because of our local wins.
Yes.
As you all well know.
It was a bad day.
So we rolled it out, and all of a sudden the flag's flying into the air, but we have a beautiful drone shot against the mountains and the school and the whole nine yards. Anyhow, that's what kicked off this sort of Project Gratitude. Kids who, and the kids are writing the letters now. So we're hoping to have about 600 letters to send over to kids in Ukrainian refugee kids.
And these are cool things, but what are kids telling you they're actually coming away with that will last them a lifetime?
You know, we'll have to see in about 30 years, but it's funny walking around town. They all pretty much know me. They've known me for years. They can't remember my name, but it's, hey.
You're that guy.
You're Mr. Big Envelope guy or Mr. Big Letter guy.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, you know what? Not only is that really cool, but how does that stay with them in their brain? Because they're going to look back on this and say, yeah.
But, you know, I talked to several of the kids who were involved in the Guinness Book of World Records, putting that all of that together in the envelope. And tell people actually what the record was, by the way, and how it came about.
Yeah, it ended up being for, as part of the whole stamp, letter, and envelope. We only got it for the envelope because Guinness turned down the letter. The stamp was problematic. And then this was before COVID. We had problems with that, and all of a sudden it came out. We only found out this January that
right.
we had won the record, but it's really cool. If you go to the Guinness Book of World Records, look up largest envelope, you will see it there on the football field with all the kids around it.
And it's cool, and I talked to several of the kids who were involved, and they've, of course, gone on to high school by this point, and I said, okay, what are you pulling away from this? And, you know, number one was teamwork, being with their friends, doing something big. That was something because they never would have thought of doing something like that. But when someone proposed it, they realized, yeah, we can do that.
Oh, cool.
We can do that.
I love that perspective.
Well, it was That's a cool great. Thing. And so that is how you attack life. But so going back to big ideas, because you're full of them, when you had the legacy letters and you did signings for it, you were on an iceberg. You were in Cuba.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew what I was going to see when I opened an email from you.
Right.
I'll just say that. So,
well, that's an interesting, yeah. So that came about because I love being outdoors. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's an honor to do book signings, no doubt about it. It's in to get to that point where you can sign books in Costco and Barnes and Noble and local bookstores all across the country. But after a while, I'm like, I like to be out, you know, outside. And I thought, wait a second. The key is in the book. Once again, walk my talk. Walk the talk of the book, which is living life to the fullest. How can I show that in a book signing? I just, all of a sudden, I thought, you know, the first one we did was the first ever digital book signing on the back of a horse. It's the horse I cowboyed on, the horse I got married on. And yep, we did it at the Barnes & Noble here on Broadway. And it was great because a local hockey team was staying nearby in a hotel. And they all came over. They wondered what. So we had like 150 people at this thing. And it was hoot. And so we went from there. And now I've done stuff on top of Mount St. Helens. We did a book signing there.
That's right.
We did the first ever modern day whistle stop book tour since Mark Twain. And it was from Orlando to Niagara Falls, signing books on the train, coming off. Oh my gosh, it goes on and on.
And I want to get back to Cuba in just a second. We're going to take a quick break here. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio with our guest, Carew Pepperitz. Join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a gorgeous 13-acre site that is also home to Socolo Village and all of their fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and socolovillage.com. We are talking to Carew Pepperitz. He's the author of The Legacy Letters. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records. He got married on a horse. His wife is a recently retired dentist with an incredible reputation in our area. And man, just as a quick shout out to her, truly a woman with a great reputation in our area, and she's really going to be missed. You glad she's retired?
Yes. I had to do the appropriate pause. I'm glad for her.
Your work continues.
Oh, yeah.
Climbing onto icebergs and doing all this stuff. Right. And so you were, again, I was talking about opening my email and seeing stuff from you. And yeah. There you are in Cuba, where all the cars are from the 50s. And the people were very glad to see you. It was what you proclaimed to be the first book signing at an English language bookstore in Cuba since.
First ever post-Castro book signing by an American. Yeah. And the English signing. Yeah. And that was something to pull off.
And so the response was something else, wasn't it?
Yeah. We actually did another thing, was that it was having the kids write letters, but we got schools from three states to gather up books, use books, and we put the letters inside and then took them to Cuba. It literally took 9 months for us to get permission.
Wow.
And they were very, wow. very, why are you bringing books in? Why are you writing? I says, you know, we're just trying to communicate here. And,
yeah.
But once we got over there, oh my gosh, the Cuban people were remarkable. It was an incredible book signing.
Wow. And so what is that process for going into a country that was extremely closed, has no love lost for Americans for certain, at least the leadership over there, but the people are always different than the leadership. Oh, you ever notice that in places like that? And I've been to a few.
Yeah.
They must have been very grateful to have you.
Oh, it was open arms everywhere.
Wow.
And one of the funny things is you read in guidebooks like, if you go out to dinner, you'll end up singing and dancing with them. And, da, da, da. And I said, yeah, okay, that's the old guidebook thing. As a matter of fact, went to dinner on a way out place and, you know, the edge of town. I heard some guys playing Hotel California, their guitars in the back. I go up, I play the guitar. I end up joining, and for an hour and a half, we're riffing on rock songs in Cuba, and this guy was great.
We're, you know, at the core, I don't think we're all just that different, no matter what country you're in. You know, and I look at that from a journalist perspective, and I can see that, generally speaking, everybody around the world wants the same things. They want to live in a safe neighborhood. They want a job. They want a good education for their kids. It's they don't want potholes in the road. So there's just those simple things that a lot of us want. But the media, we focus on the leadership, and the leadership, I think we can see it in Russia big time here, is generally grossly out of step with the people. And I think you probably saw that over in Cuba.
Yeah, amongst a number of other places in the world. But yeah, especially that was wonderful, wonderful people.
What's next? What big thing is next for you?
Planned to climb Kilimanjaro 2 years ago. Had to put it off because of that big, you know, that thing.
That thing.
That thing.
Yeah, it's still here.
And plan to, I have to say this sort of quietly, do a book signing on top of Mount Kilimanjaro.
And what favorite local newspaper is going to get the first photo from that?
Oh, it would have to be the Sarita. Wait a second.
Oh, wait a minute.
Arizona. Wait, no. Washington. Oh. Green Valley News.
Well, you know.
Oh, please.
Trust me.
I'm under contract, I think.
Well, that is a cool thing. Again, you don't just go someplace and actually vacation, or else you don't tell us about it, I should say. But that's a big deal.
No, my wife's accused me of that.
Okay, she should talk to my wife.
Right.
Yeah, you're always working. It's true.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't. I can't. And that book, The Legacy Letters, which I read when it came out, what year was it? Several years now.
Golly, it's been out for 2014.
Wow, yeah. So I read it when it was first out, loved it, and it got me to thinking, you know, what is the best thing that a parent can do for their kids? And I'm talking about, because of where I come from and you come from in Green Valley, what about when the kids are young, but also when they're adults? You never stop being a parent. What's the best thing that we can do to support our kids for a lifetime?
Okay, I got two things right here in my back pocket.
All right.
Number one, please and thank you.
So right? Simple.
All right. 1,000, 10,000 times. I mean, I just put that in my son's mouth 1,000,000 times until it actually comes out the same way over and over again. Why? Because I think that manners and gratitude and all these things, this civility is literally the backbone of our civilization. I think without it, it starts to crumble. And that's, I think when you start to see that breakdown, then what follows is not a good thing. And that's number one. Number two is let them fall. Mm. Let them fall. Let your kids fall appropriately, whatever the age, but let them fall, because how do you learn to pick yourself up
right
if you can't fall? And I think in this day and age, there's a sort of, oh, I'll take care of you. I'll, you know, put you in a blanket. I'll, you know, swaddle you until the end. But how do you, what about adults? Same thing. You've got to let adults fall. But what I tend to do is I will say to an adult, I'll say, hey, I really like you. Here's my experience in this situation. And if it's not working for you, you don't have to take my advice on this because it's literally, it's just advice. But I want you to know about it because I've done a lot of living in life and I've seen where this could go.
Right.
And it's like, you got to put your big boy pants on. And at a certain point, you know.
Well, you know, I told your son who is ending his sophomore year.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, your dad's not normal. He said, I realize that, and he likes that. He goes, that's what I love about him.
Yeah.
And I said, he thinks big. And he goes, yeah, and he's teaching me to think big. And I thought that was, that is a legacy.
Wow.
That is a legacy, you know. So this kid doesn't go into it and think small because he has seen it actually happen. So you've modeled it for him.
Huh.
And so I don't think the modeling ever stops for a parent and a kid, doesn't matter how old they are.
Yeah, good point, Dan. That really is.
So the next big thing is Kilimanjaro. You've got advice for parents regarding not just when the kids are young, but when they're older. You mentioned earlier the Ukrainian letters that the kids at Continental are writing.
Correct.
And so what is the hope for that? Is there anything anybody out in our audience might be able to do to help out with it?
Yeah, you know what? This is, I'm glad you said that because it's difficult finding, what we would love to find is a school in Poland where these kids are going to school and to be able to give the kids directly the letters. So if anybody has any connections over there or even in Ukraine proper, we would love that. It's been a little difficult. It's a little bit all over the place over there, but we will get those letters to them. And then ultimately what we would love, and we're setting up the Project Gratitude website and the Facebook page and whatnot, is for the Ukrainian parents, if they wanted to, they could respond to the letters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the only information on these letters is, hi, I'm my name, and I'm in fourth grade at Continental Elementary School. And this is what I do and say, but their letters, the guys are so revealing. The kids just, they pour their hearts out in ways that adults don't do.
And a lot of people are aware that my brother has spent 2 months over there in Ukraine helping out the refugees. He's back for 3 weeks. He leaves again on Saturday. He's heading back with big plans to help out more. And talked to him last night for about an hour and earlier also. And he has said in his communication with us that people are always surprised that we over here in the United States, or even maybe anywhere outside of Ukraine, are very interested in what's going on there, care about them, want what's best, and are cheering them on and supporting them as we can. And so please and thank you is now extended to what we can do for others in these really rough situations. I think that's what we're seeing. So what do you think that the letters actually are going to accomplish then when they get into the hands of these refugee kids?
Well, I think in going back to our kids, I think I don't like feeling helpless in any situation whatsoever. And here's a case where we can teach kids, hey, this is a way of not being helpless, communicating with other people, even if it's a letter. Oh, it's just a letter. Oh, are you kidding? Letters are so powerful. And I think that the connection made between the anytime kids, they make such connections so easily. And I think these letters would show, wow, halfway across the world, you're supporting me. It's one-on-one. And when you get a handwritten letter, it's so personal. It's your time that goes into that letter, and you're holding someone's time in your hands. And so I think that and the message that's the kids are putting in there, the humanity, right? The personality, the I care. Literally, I care in this letter.
And it's interesting. I wonder how many of these kids have never written a letter by hand before. You have to wonder with all the texting and the emails and the Instagram and the posting and all the social media, but that's a real different animal, and it's a very different process in your mind also when you sit down to write a letter.
If you're at Continental Elementary and you've been under the world's largest handwritten thank you letter, you have written those letters and will continue to do so.
And those are very, very important things for these kids to do. So the Legacy Letters, important book, good book, easy read, but very thought-provoking. Where can people get it?
oh, the big beast, Amazon. But but if you can get to your local bookstore and ask for it, it should still be there. But I support local bookstores all the way.
Very good. And we have a couple down in our area, and I know that they've got it or can get it. And again, it's very important work. So I know that you have some changes going on in your family with Donnie Kildu's retirement. And so we wish you the best, Carew.
Thanks, Dan. Really appreciate being on the show.
It has been wonderful to have you. And like I said, we could probably go do a full hour and we'll have you back. So,
sounds good.
Okay. Our thanks to Carew Pepperitz. I look forward to your next big thing, whatever that is, but we'll have you on Kilimanjaro. I'm going to be back in this seat on Friday. Bill has several of us sitting in for him during his vacation. Don't forget to check his photos from Hawaii on his Facebook page. And of course, all his shows are archived at BuckmasterShow.com. On behalf of the team here at the Buckmaster Show, you make it a great rest of your Monday.